Good morning. Welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. Happy Thursday. Live in Minneapolis. It is 6:35 Central, 7:35 Eastern. We're doing ALC Clinic with the agents today. Then on a plane, maybe. And back to Tampa, where hopefully many of you make it. Who knows? Double check your flights. Book a backup, because it might get crazy starting tomorrow. But we are looking forward to seeing 400 of you-ish. Coming to Tampa Bay. I know some of you are on the way. And safe travels. And be nice to the people at the airport, because some of them aren't getting paid. So be kind to them. Change your flight. Come in early. Who knows? Nicole Moore drove once. Went back with a kayak or something. So be careful. But we're excited to see many of you on Monday at Advance in Tampa. No Shift pivot shift ahead call Monday or Tuesday, because we will be in at Advance, but we will have one tomorrow. We're doing our five basics. We'll cover that at the top of the hour in about 24 minutes. But first I want to show you something. Did you see this that came out from the National Association of Realtors? And you do know how to say the word? Two syllables. Well, let me show you the data that came out from the National Association of Realtors. That's not it. This is it right here. This is on my Instagram. So if you cannot see the screen, you're listening to the podcast version or something like this, go to James D. Shaw on Instagram. I put it in my stories today. And I want to chat about it. I'm not, you know, and on Facebook, I asked, what were your thoughts? I don't want to do thoughts today. I want to do, now that you know this, what do you do next? This is the info that came out, the 2025 profile of home buyers and sellers. The full report is out. And here's some data in it. First time home buyers. 21% of all buyers are first time home buyers. All time low. That is an all time low. Median age of first time home buyers is 40. That's an all time high. And down payment of first time home buyers was 10%. That's a high since 1989. I was 12. Repeat buyers. Median age of repeat buyers is 62. Why couldn't it have been 67? 62, that's an all-time high. Down payment of repeat buyers, all-time high, 23%. The share of all buyers with kids under 18, 24%, that's an all-time low. How long is a seller living in their house before selling? 11 years. That must be an average, because it doesn't say median on the thing, so I'm going to assume average. That's an all-time high. Okay, so I'm sure you have thoughts about it. I'm sure the chat has some thoughts about it. I'm not actually super curious in your opinions about the data, because this call isn't about opinions. This call is about you getting after it. So what I'm curious about is, now that you know this, what do you do? You know where the opportunity is now. Your section of first-time homebuyers is shrinking. However, the median age of first-time homebuyers is growing. Down payments up, median age of repeat buyers, 62. We know that that's the largest group of buyers and sellers right now, is boomers and above, you know, the boomers. 24% of all buyers, I'm sorry, only 24% of buyers have children under 18 in their house. Again, that goes back to the fact that it's boomers who are buying and selling right now. They're the largest generation. They are in life change time. Now that you know this, you know this, man. What do you do next, Ricardo? Good morning.
I posted about this yesterday myself, and I was like, this is an all-time high need for education. You know, there's a lot of realtors out there saying, oh, I, you know, under contract this, so that. We need education for these people, because they don't know what's the consequence of waiting. They don't know what's the consequence of not knowing what you don't know. So just being able to, and that's what drives me in order to make sure that I put on social media as much as possible, education, you know, this is what you need to know, this is who I am, and this is how I can help. I'm not here to tell you that I'm the top agent here or I can help you there, but it's just about educating and making sure that they know what's going on, whether it's here locally or elsewhere with our referral partners that will be able to help them out. So thanks for
following the show. Yeah, you're welcome. We got to, you know, teach, train, let people know what's going on. Okay, now I think that voice we heard was Ronnie DiCarlo. And so we're going to go to Ronnie next. But Ronnie, that was not the voice I was expecting when I called on Ricardo Burton. I got confused. Ronnie DiCarlo, you're up next. Good morning.
Sorry about that. I've been called Ricardo. That's why I jumped on it.
You're good.
The screen. So you tipped a hand. Yes, baby boomers, $30 trillion. But here is the mofer. The reason it's 62 is because that's when you can do what? A heckum, a home equity conversion, reverse mortgage. And if you're not on top of this, guys, shame on you. Because not only can you pull the equity out, you can use it to invest. You don't have to make a mortgage payment. And you don't have to pay it back. There's leverage all over and opportunity over all over this.
Learn the programs, learn the opportunities, and share them. It's exciting stuff. Janet Rabemeyer, good morning.
Hey, good morning from sunny Daytona Beach shores. I am so grateful that you shared this today because I've been looking for something visual and some talking points that I can show with the share with the folks in my area. I'm in coastal Florida. We have a lot of these people who are part of the silver tsunami. Yeah, yeah. They have money. And my question for them is, knowing that first-time homebuyers are getting older and older, and you have grandchildren who are in their 20s, how do you feel about blessing them now? And, you know, how can I help you? And by the way, I can refer your grandchild to a wonderful agent in wherever that child is, because we have this group. Think of how we can help the older people in our database that we have tagged boomers, perhaps. I know I do. And then help them help their grandkids by blessing them now and getting them into home ownership, the fastest way to build wealth. And three, help our referral partners around the country.
Yeah. Smart. Those of you just joining us, we're talking about the data that came out from NAR yesterday about the median age of first-time home buyers and the median age of who's selling and all these different things. The full report is on my Instagram story. So if you haven't seen it, go to Instagram. If you have that in your city, James D. Shaw is where you'll find it. And it's posted right there. And we're saying, now that you have this data, what do you do with it? How are you leveraging? What are you using to create some opportunity? That's what I want to know. Stephanie Kaufman, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. You sound great.
Okay. Thank you so much. So I'm a first time sharing. And I have combined the Pipeline Power Week with exactly what you're talking about and what I just heard about the Heckam mortgage. Within 30 days, I created an event and I put it on yesterday, and I brought down the Lifestyle Mortgage from Mutual of Omaha person from Charleston, South Carolina to Beaufort, South Carolina, combined it with a organizer, downsizer business person, and presented it at the YMCA. I developed flyers, videos, social media posts, event posts, next door posts, email campaigns, all within 30 days. I needed momentum. I wanted to be just like y'all. And I feel like I've been the Groundhog Day realtor since 2020. And now I have some momentum and I'm using exactly what you're talking about.
That's smart. Stephanie, thank you for sharing. You should share more often.
Thank you. Really proud
of you. Beth, good morning.
Good morning, everyone from the City Beautiful. I love this data.
That would be Orlando, for those of you keeping score at home.
I think every state has a City Beautiful.
It probably does. That's why I broke it down for them.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This echoes a lot of what we've been talking about in our Senior Living Seminar Series. The idea of people in the mature market of downsizing twice. And really, it's right-sizing, because when we see that that age of 62, when people are moving out of the house that they've been in for like 30 years into something that's much easier to maintain, they can enjoy a lifestyle in retirement that is very vibrant. And so I think this data supports that and is going to help me tweak my messaging to the people about the idea of right-sizing or downsizing twice, because at 65, while someone's eligible to go into a retirement community, they may not be ready for that.
That's right.
So it's just really good data. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's posted on my Instagram story if you want to get it. Jessica Starr, good morning.
Good morning, friend. I, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat.
Get it out. Sounds dangerous.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
All right.
I'm busy packing to come see you guys. I'm so excited.
Yes.
So I think this is the coolest thing because there's so many things you could do with this. And all these amazing people that are speaking, like, we should have an awesome class with Ronnie, Janet, like, yep. Put it together, because doing a client event around this and doing the wealth building around this, that's also an option for generational wealth and legacy building. But thinking ahead, because, you know, John and I were just talking about this, people can't afford to buy houses right now with the cost of groceries and where everything is at the moment. It's really not attainable for a lot of people. That's probably one of the reasons. And number two,
why you're seeing the age of that first time home buyer creep up.
Yeah, that's really a big thing. And then the second thing, like, it's a lot of things that I always do is getting those boomers ready. You know, a lot of them have been storing their stuff forever. They're kind of like squirrels and they've been saving for best and doing all those things. So the overwhelming part of doing the staging with them and paring down, and they don't want to just throw everything out. They want to make sure it's doing good in the community, and talking them through those kinds of things. So even the class around that, where you're talking to people on how they can reduce, reuse, and recycle and donate to rehabilitate homeless people and donate to the local food pantries and do all those things, so they know their stuff is doing good on top of it. But then, like, think about, hey, you're going to bless your family later in life with all these amazing things. You never get to see it, just like Janet said. Imagine if you could do that right now and show everybody, like, hey, grandma and grandpa cared enough about you that they want to do this now for you and get to see it. They have some tax advantages that they can do by doing this if they wanted to do it investor-wise, too. But we could build a whole class around this. I'm in for that. If anybody wants to do that, I'll help create it.
Well, we will get it done. That's going to happen. So I'll tell Vicky has homework.
See you soon.
We'll get Vicky Lukacik in touch with you and the others. And Robin McCoy, you should probably be involved in that too. This is a lane for Robin with helping the boomers and that older community with this transition.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, you really have to understand this client as well. You know, it can be a long play depending on who they are, right? And if they're eligible for a HECM, that's awesome. And having them understand what that reverse is. So there's a lot of education around that, doing reverse mortgages, because there's a lot of misconceptions about it. Downsizing, getting rid of the things, there's a whole thing about that. I've been doing classes at the local senior community center every month for a year, bringing in different, you know, attorneys and health people, all of that, and getting in front of these people so that you are a resource for them and you can keep them in their house as long as they want to, but also making them aware that they don't have to be in that house to age in place, a smaller house, which is why the repeat buyers are at 62, right? And you can buy a house using a HECM, a reverse for purchase. Most people don't know that. So there's just a ton of stuff out there, but understand who that client is, understand what they're going through, understand that it may be a stop and start with some of them. There's just a lot to it. And so you can't rush a lot of these folks.
In Shift, there's a whole chapter called The Market of the Moment. Now, when they wrote the Shift book, that was short sales, foreclosures, and REOs. That's not our market of the moment right now. Those things are up. That's not driving the market. But what we're discovering, right, is Robin, you're living in this market of the moment right now. If you're going to work the market of the moment, you need to understand what you're doing and have training around it and have clarity about how it works. Just like, you know, when people would have in the beginning of the shift in 2009, and an agent would come to me and they had a client who needed a short sale, right? They had a short sale because they owed more than it was worth, and they didn't have the ability to make up the difference. That was a complicated process, especially early. I said, you need to partner with one of our agents who specializes in this and then learn it before you go do it on your own. And I, it's, you know, all these little acronyms and whoosie woos and hutsy doozies. We've got to partner with people who know what they're doing in this kind of stuff before you start working on it too, and go get educated in the process. And Robin's one of those people. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Diane Davidson.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you for bringing up the reverse mortgages. I have a woman I met with whose husband passed away recently, and I'm trying to figure out ways to help her. Like we talked about a few different ideas, subdividing. She can't sell, but the reverse mortgage, that's the answer. So thank you guys for sharing that today. And I'm so thrilled. I can't wait to talk to her about that. And that will, that way she can stay exactly where she wants to stay and we'll be able to afford it. So thank you.
I'm thrilled too. I can barely sit in my chair. No, Diane, it's great. We always want options for people. You're exactly right. Jean Marie, good morning.
Hi, thank you so much. Here in Boston's North Shore, I just walked over to my my bookshelf talking about HECMs. I'm so glad Ronnie's brought this up. This has been, you know, reverse mortgages have had a bad reputation for years. And we as realtors, we owe it to ourselves to get very familiar with this and bring in the experts. And the book that was brought to my attention by Nikki Buckaloo's team at the Seniors Real Estate Institute, which is a great place to go get training if you really want to work this market. The book is called Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages, The Cinderella of the Baby Boomer Retirement by Harlan Acola, A-C-C-O-L-A. Just another book to have in your library if you really want to work with this demographic. Because I think the most important thing for us to remember is that the aging demographic, call it the mature market now, it's being called that, is vulnerable, and it's our responsibility to be there for them so they can't be taken advantage of. That's what I got.
True. And yes, reverse mortgages have risks, as does anything, and you should understand what those are and just learn. Thank you, Jean Marie, appreciate it. Karen Smith, good morning.
I'm in that age group of, you know, the boomers or late boomer. But I think in that we also can't ignore the first time home buyer. So I'm going to say for the younger agents out there who aren't boomers, who are looking at a very long career, don't lose focus on programs and issues that will get people into that first home.
Yep.
So they can buy, they can become the second home buyer, the downsizer, and they can keep coming back to you over a long career. Without them, if we don't feed that pipeline, the rest of the pipeline dies.
It does. If you go back and look, Karen, at the data, it's still 21% of all buyers are first-time home buyers. That's a big chunk of people still. There's 4 million transactions this year. You know, that's a lot. So you should still run your first-time home buyer play. Now, what you're noticing is that the median age of that group is older. It's the highest it's ever been, 40 years old. So where do we find them? It might be a little bit different on where we find them. So, you know, understanding this stuff, what I have on the screen is the data we've been talking about this morning. And if you don't have the ability to see the screen, it's on my stories on Instagram at James D. Shaw. Still 20% of all the people who are out there buying a house, we've got to educate. We've got to help them. It's true. And maybe someday wages will get to the spot that young people can actually afford to buy a house. That'd be real nice. Our friends, the millennials who just bought a house, they needed to work 4 jobs and save for like 5 years to get the down payment. 4 jobs and save for years and still got help from their parents to buy. That's what it took, but they figured it out. And part of it is you have a group of younger people who think they can't do it. I think that, I don't want to get preachy, but this thought or idea that millennials are lazy is BS. They are just not set up the same way my generation, I'm an X, was set up. They are not lazy. They work harder probably than you. We just have to be careful on these things that people say about different generations. Millennials work hard. Hard. And they're smart. And my wife is one, so I have to say it by law. She's the oldest millennial, 1981. She's the oldest millennial. So I think when you look at it and go, well, that's because they're into DoorDash. That's baloney. Baloney. They're just, it's harder. Look what happened to home prices in the 5 years since the pandemic. And then go put it on top of wages. And think about the massive amount of debt they're carrying to pay for college. Like, I know it gets really excitable when we talk about student loan forgiveness, but do you understand what student loan forgiveness would do for our industry? If students were able to have student loans forgiven, most of it, they paid back what they borrowed. It's the interest. If we forgave it, do you understand what that would do for our industry? I'm going to lose followers today, but I don't care. This week, I don't care. I have posted about health insurance this week. I've posted about food this week and feeding people. I talked about air traffic control this week. Now I'm talking about loan forgiveness. Some of you are going to unfollow me, but I don't care.
Keep going, James.
There's going to be room on my Facebook today. But listen, I love you. I just want us to think about it for a minute about how do we help people? We're here to help people. Let's create a space that allows them to participate and educate. Know what the boomers are doing and go teach and help them understand what their opportunities are. Know where the first-time home buyers are and then help teach young people how to come in to home ownership and be there and support and educate. That's all. Okay, I got a little wound up. Alice and Brent, you get the last word on this.
You know, James, you're so right in that. It's just the wealth factor when you own a home is just, it proves itself. And so you take when someone is so broke and it allows them to become so wealthy from that. And it gives confidence. And so, you know, in California, we have what is called Prop 19. And with this factor of being 62 and the opportunity to own your second home, you are able to take your tax basis with you. So you imagine someone that's owned a home 11 or more years, and you can now sell your home and take that tax basis that you have, and you're selling a home and maybe $700,000, but you bought your home at $150,000 and take that tax basis with you for that $700,000 home. Man, is that huge. And so there's going to be different things that you have to look at as a real estate agent. How can you help them? Is that one of the things that they're going to be able to take advantage of? Yep. We had the opportunity to help a senior that was going to move into senior living, and they were worried about a higher HOA, but the tax basis was able to, they were able to take total advantage of that, and they absolutely love where they are in a senior community, being around like-minded people, because they were able to easily afford that type of lifestyle because the tax basis they took with them was able to give them that lifestyle.
Let's help create it for them. Let's teach it to them. I think about Julia Saad, who works with me, and she works hard, and I think I pay her pretty well. And I'm telling you, the amount of money that goes toward her living cost, the percentage of her income that she pays in rent, makes me sad. And it's so much as a percentage. And if we can help someone like Julia, who's got a very good paying job and works very hard and is very smart, get into a home, she's 23. She doesn't have to own a home at 23. Most of us didn't have homes at 23. But if we can help get her on the path of something like that to create wealth for her down the line, there's that goes forever, like you just said, Brent. It goes on and on and on. Thank you, Brent and Alice. It was so good to see you both last week, and I get to see you again, fingers crossed, that your airplanes get in the air in just a few days. All right, what's up? It is 7:01 Central, 8:01 Eastern. Good to see you. It's your friend James Shaw, and we are back and better than ever. It's our Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's these two masterminds in one. If you're watching on YouTube or on Facebook, you missed the first half, which was all about the data that came out from NAR about first-time home buyers and second-time home buyers and the average age of sellers and how much money they're putting down. It was really cool. I shared it on my Instagram story, so you can go find it there. And then go to whatever podcast platform you use and listen to the first half of the call. There were great ideas. I also got a little excitable, but there were really good ideas too, and I'd love for you to go back and take a listen to them if you missed it. We are continuing our Back to the Basics series that we've been on all week. We said, you know what? Look, you want to hit your goal? It comes from mastering and being committed to the basics. And I laid out five basics for you, different maybe than what you're used to. But first was set a goal with purpose and meaning. Second was figure out the process to reach the goal. Yesterday was all about having a database and thinking of your database like a community. And today's about knowing your numbers. We got to know our numbers. So that's what we're going to do today. But before we do that, we're going to do two something goods. It's Andrea, it's Maria, and then we're getting after it. Good morning, Andrea.
Hey, good morning, Andrea.
Andrea.
Yes, sir. Listen, I want to thank you for everything that you just said. I love it. I love it. I got to go to bowl for my first time, and I got to break the board last week, which was super awesome. So I figured, since, you know, people seem a little contentious, if you need to hire me as your bodyguard, I'm a board breaker now. So I told you the other day, I got your back. Just give me a call.
Hey,
put
listen,
me on your payroll.
That board breaking is fun. I'm out of money. I can't put you on the payroll, but the board breaking is fun. And I got to hold Jenny Wolex one time, and she broke the board, which was fun. Andrea, I'm proud of you. Thank you for being on. Maria Sims, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Andrea. I'm a board breaker too. I'm bold. That was awesome, Cher. So the two things, Lane is in the region champs. He won region champs for football, and we're so proud of him. And they're going to be going to the state championship, because I know they're going to win this weekend, even though mommy's not going to be there to cheer him on, because I'm going to be with all my friends, but in Safety Harbor. But he said, go see Mr. James. It's okay. I'm going to win, so you'll be here for the championship.
I love him.
He loves you too. He's awesome. And then last night we had our Friendsgiving. It was the biggest turnout of any event I've ever thrown. My community showed up. I'm like in tears thinking about how much food they donated. And you know, we fed over 150 people dinner last night. It was just an amazing, and the takeaway for this community is, there's smart people in here. I added my little sign-in sheet that someone mentioned it at, for one of their events, to who wants to have their home value, and does anyone you know want to buy or sell within the next 12 months? And we had 7 answer yes on one side and 8 answer yes. So there's 15 people, and you know how uncomfortable I've been about mixing real estate into my community events, but do it because it works and people love to help. So
Maria, you're not messing around anymore. Like, Maria got mad, everybody, because somebody else listed a house with somebody listed a house with someone other than her. And listen, in her town in Georgia, she's the agent, and somebody listed with someone else. And now Maria's got fired up. She sent me a long note about it. I'm still reading it. And it's like, listen, she says this, conversion was the thing I'd taken my eye off, at least for myself. Maria, I'm just sharing this little note that you sent to me, because she said there are these 5 C's in Maria Sims' business. Culture, being a great co-op, communication, conversion, and community. And Maria told me the one she backed off on, took her eye off of, her words, was conversion. She said the community and the events were working, that's the DNA, but somewhere along the way, I stopped intentionally asking for business and just assumed it would come. Maria, you're getting very purposeful about asking for business, and you walked away with 15 leads from a Friendsgiving event.
Yes, sir. And that is because of you, because you know what? Sometimes you just have to get excitable and chap our butts, and then we go out and do the right thing. Because if you take ownership over where you're screwing up, that's where you really start seeing success. So, you know, be excitable, because you call us out on things we need, and we all love you for it.
Well, it's out of love. And the thing about it is that that's exactly what we're talking about today. She was looking at her conversion. That's a number you track, and recognizing that it wasn't where she wanted it to be. That's one of the basics, is tracking your numbers and knowing what they are. And this is where people go, well, what? How should I track them? Don't care. Don't care how you track them. You find a way that works for you. We've got so many trackers in the Inspire Collective member portal. If you go into Act 2, I did a whole thing with Paul Corey on his tracker. It looks like a Girl Scout cookie order form, and it's great, and it works great for Lee and Paul, but it wouldn't work great for everybody. You know, when I was a team leader, I tracked all my numbers. And Donna Gilbert, do you know what I did as a team leader? I had a spiral notebook, and here's what I would do. I'd get it out and I'd write 11 6 25, and then I'd put calls, and then, you know, about 5 lines below that, contacts, and about 5 lines below that, appointments. And every time I made a dial, I just put a little little tick mark like this. And if they answered, I put a little tick mark under a contact. And if I got an appointment, a little tick mark under appointments. And then here, then the next one, another tick mark. And then here's where it got crazy. Here's where it got crazy. It'd go 1, 2, 3, 4. And on the fifth one, I went diagonal. That's where it got crazy. And I have, I probably have them in my garage. Spiral notebook after spiral notebook after spiral notebook of how many calls, contacts, and appointments I made. And what I was able to do is just get a basic average that if I make X number of dials, I'm going to talk to X number of people and I'm going to get X number of appointments. And then I knew for every number of appointments, I was going to get an agent who chose to join Keller Williams. And then I discovered that if I got an appointment, if I just started asking them at the end of the appointment, so, hey, what do you think? Would you like to join Keller Williams? My conversion rate went up. Surprise, surprise. So we need a system. Oh, there goes my thing. We need a system. I don't care what your system is. I used a spiral notebook. Paul uses the most advanced spreadsheet in history of the planet. Some of you might be using Command. I don't care what you do, but we've got to track some stuff. And the thing is, well, what do we track? So I took some notes. I think there's four core things to track. Conversations or contacts. Appointments. This is not, you don't need to write this down, y'all. Contracts and closings. Right? Conversations, appointments, contracts, and closings. Why contracts and closings? Because fallout rate is up right now. It's north of 15%, 20% in some places. And the reason we do this is because that shows our effort and the results. See, we can track our effort. Hey, I made this many, I had this many conversations, scheduled this many appointments, and so on and so forth. We can see our effort, but it also allows us now to know our effectiveness. Is our conversion rate in alignment with where we would like it to be? And then you can break it down. You can break it down to weekly, like we talked about on Tuesday, about knowing your process, and you can break it into weekly numbers. And then numbers, what I love about the numbers is it removes all of the emotion. Because now we're just living in the data and the fact about what's happening. There's no judgment around them. This is just, it is what it is. And now what changes should I make based on the numbers and the results? It's empowering, actually. When you track, that brings power and focus to your business. So I want to talk about tracking. Hey, Anna Kruger, your hand's not up, but I know that this is also, I know people know you for the no script sales method and all that stuff that we're doing with you, which is elite stuff. But you also ran a really successful ISA program and coaching around that, and you really know the stuff about numbers. So I want to invite you, Anna Kruger, to share just some initial thoughts about it.
Yeah, thank you so much, James. I am so passionate about this topic, and I used to hate tracking. And I'm kind of like you. I'm a pen and paper gal for pretty much everything. And I hated tracking. The only reason I did it is because my boss made me to before I went to lunch. So, to go to lunch, turn in your numbers. And I remember when we sat down and we figured out to make my huge, scary income goal, I needed to talk to 33 people a day, which for me in the inside sales role, lead genning 6 hours a day was easy. 33 in 6 hours is not a problem. And it also shows you where to spend your time. So yesterday I was talking with a client and we were working on the economic model and we messed with a number. And by just increasing skill by 5%, that's barely anything, in set to held, it saved her 100 contacts. And so tracking, it tells you the big picture of what you need to do to make the money you want to make and all the things that will do for you. But it also tells you where to spend your time. You know, big picture, we just need to know contacts to closing. Biggest picture possible, that's really all that we need to know. How many contacts will get me a closing? But when you go smaller than that and track all the things in between, you know, your appointment set to appointment held to appointment signed, signed to closed, now I know where to work on my skill. And when you know where to work on your skill, the outcome of that is you just don't have to work so hard. Because as your skill improves, you don't need to talk to as many people. Like I said yesterday, just 5% improvement in one little area of skill saved 100 contacts in the example we were doing. So I'm very passionate about this. I appreciate you inviting me to share. Please track everyone. And if you need help with that, I know James can help. I'm happy to help. Like, this is something I'm very passionate about, which is laughable to me because I used to hate it. But I love what it can do for you.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Anna Kruger. Cindy, good morning.
Good morning. I just taught a class on Know Your Numbers on Tuesday at our office. And, you know, math in motion is what it is. And, if you know your numbers, you know, it's not random. And so if you've got the dominoes, it's a domino effect. You've got your income goal that you want first, then your GCI, your deals and appointments to conversions. And when you're clear on those numbers, and people were, you know, scratching their heads and not knowing, with a little tiny chart that I give out to fill out how many phone calls you need to make. I think it's shocking to them of how it's this huge number. And it might be, we need to make 6,420, and then you break it down to the month, and then you break it down to the day. And then charting in simple ways so that the family understands, if you've got kids or yourself, and have a visible chart that you can use. So my team has a lot of little kids, and they use a big, huge whiteboard calendar, and the kids get to put a sticker of a house every time she sells it. But they always set a goal as a family. So we, on Tuesday, we'll do this one with our team planning, and they will have what their goal is, whether it's to go to Disney, whether it's to go to New York. One has three more houses before she takes her kids to New York for a play. So having a visual of where you're going, because sometimes those numbers feel so overwhelming, and simplicity with just knowing the reality. And I say, you have to make that why so important that those phone calls are not painful.
This is exactly what we're going to do in advance this week. Those of you who are coming, this setting a goal with meaning and purpose is what Cindy just talked about. When you have a goal that has meaning and purpose, she called it a big why, that will drive everything else. Then you'll track the numbers and know what you need. One exercise we're going to do in advance is do this exercise about understanding what your database is worth. And by the way, Cindy, when you break it down, like when you look at the huge number of contacts you might have to make in a year, but you break it down to just what that looks like a day, it's often single digits in conversations for most people to hit their goal. Single digits. It's not 82. It's not 20, which is the bold number. Like, most people can hit their goal on 4 to 5 conversations a day, and that are purposeful and on point, that you'll be fine. But the challenge, Cindy, is that many of them don't know what that number is. So if you're coming to Advance, we're going to break it all down for you. We are going to have Fancy Cam back and better than ever at Advance, which is going to be great. And we're going to chunk it down for you. And then I created a calculator. It's time for the calculator. I created a calculator so you can just go in, put in 2 numbers, and boop, it spits it all out to you. So Cindy, thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for doing that with your team. And those of you coming to Advance, we're going to do that exercise for you. Tulio, you're next. Good morning.
Thank you, James. I am not innately a numbers person, and I'm blessed to have Jessica and a bookkeeper and an accountant, but we have one system, first of all, that's called the Team Hub, and it's a Google website where everything about the team can be found. If an agent ever asks a question, where do I find this? It's on the Hub, and it's all detailed, and you can go into it, and each section is broken down into other sections. But literally 2 weeks ago, my coach was hitting me with a lot of data questions. And she's like, how's this performing? How's this performing? I go, I gotta get with Rebecca. I gotta get with Jessica. I gotta get with different people. And at the end of that call, I go, I can't be that person anymore. So I met with Jessica Pulig, and we together, she did the work, obviously, put together what's called the CEO Hub. And it has every metric that Tulio needs as a CEO of a team. And things like, yes, our transactions, production, pipelines, conversions, fallout rates, quarterly production, marketing, MailChimp, Google Business, social media metrics, KPIs, YouTube performance, mailbox power, client community touches, financials, everything in one spot where I can go to it and open it up so that when I'm getting grilled by my coach, I can open up each one and I know exactly what it is. Some of it goes really deep where I have to pull these reports and feed it into ChatGPT and say, help me understand this. Talk to me like an 8th grader. Help me interpret, you know, because there's a lot of data in this. But finally, it's in one spot. And I needed that. Yeah.
And you know, and you can make adjustments to the business. You can, you know, the effectiveness of different agents, and know where to coach and support them so they can get better and they don't get as frustrated. It's just having that information makes your life so much easier. Hey, is it in the Hub, your version of it's in the portal? I feel like that it's in the Hub is kind of Tulio's version of my it's in the portal. It's the same thing. Tulio, thank you, friend. Appreciate you very much. Jack Smith, good morning.
Good morning, sir. And I have to tell you this. I love it when you get fired up. When you talked about the ATC yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was, I thought, oh, my goodness, we're supposed to be going on vacation, going to stop and see a client and so on and so forth and teach a class in Houston. And I'm thinking, am I going to be able to get back? Am
I going to be able to get out? I hope you do, sir. I hope you do.
Well, I don't know. United just sent me a letter this morning said we can change our plan. So at least the presidents of these companies are paying attention to what's going on. But what I wanted to say is I got back last night from Gary Keller's mastermind. And I had to go with the solo agents instead of be with the teams because we have blessing baskets. And the thing that I learned from Gary and Jay up on the stage, the things that I learned, I'll send them to you. But let me just tell you, they're on fire about everything. They're on fire about service, James. And you have been preaching to us about this for, I don't know, 5.5 years now. I sat with a bunch of agents and they asked me, how are we doing with our communications? And I said, well, I can only tell you that my team, Divya, Jake, and I communicate with the clients at least with 50 to 75 clients every single day. And it has given us great results. And that's one of the most simplest things that people can do. Just pick up the phone and call people. Even if you don't know who you're calling, just call them, call your friends, pull out your phone. What did you teach us in the very beginning? Bold. Open up your phone and start at A and then go to Z. Bottom line is service, 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 service. And I got the message loud and clear.
We are out of time. I'm sorry to Dawn and Dean and Jolie. We're not going to get to you. I know you had something smart to say. You put it in the chat. But the bottom line is start tracking. I gave you the four areas to track. It doesn't matter to me how you do it. Once you do track, you have more data that you can use to make different decisions. Tomorrow, we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap up our five basics tomorrow. So we'll do that. Those of you who are in the North Central region, I'll see you here in about 35 minutes. We're going to do your ALC clinic today, and then I'm hopping on a plane and coming home to see many of you at Advance starting on Monday in Tampa. If you want to get in last minute, I don't know the current ticket situation because we've had some transfers of people who can't come, but email Nadine, nadine@jamesdshaw.com, nadine@jamesdshaw.com if you're interested in coming. She can let you know of the ticket options so you can join us Monday and Tuesday. Have a great Thursday. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.